My wife tells me that I am a hugger. In fact, I apologize for not hugging each and every single one of you on the way in. If you want one later, just come ask me and I will give you a hug. In fact, my fame of being a hugger is so far that so many of you I have heard said behind my back, Grandpa Job is such a hugger that if all the people here in the land of Uz gave him a hug every moment of the day, it still would not be enough for him. And you're probably right. You are all my children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And I am so very proud of you. But out of all of you, I think I only had one child, my firstborn, little Lily, who is as voracious as a hugger as me. You all know that I am an extraordinarily wealthy man. I am wealthier than any of you can ever hope to be. But there is one thing that the wealthy and the poor have in common. There is one thing that the well-fed and the hungry have in common, and that is that we have all experienced suffering. We've all experienced pain. We have all cried aloud to heaven and asked, why to the one true God, Yahweh? Why, God, do you allow me to suffer? Everyone has experienced suffering, and you have experienced suffering that you did not deserve. Why does God allow us to suffer? Why does God allow bad things to happen? I think it is finally time for me to tell you my story. A long time ago, before any of you were born, I was also wealthy here in the land of Uz, and God, Yahweh, the one true God, had blessed me abundantly. He had given my wife and I an abundance of flocks of sheep and goats and camels and donkeys. And he'd given us servants, lots of servants, loads of servants. But the greatest blessing from Yahweh was our children. He gave us 10 of them, 3 girls and 7 boys. And unlike some of you, they actually enjoyed each other's company. They got along. They liked each other. They would take turns having dinner parties at each other's homes all the time. They loved each other. And because God was so good to us, we decided we would be faithful to Him. I tried to keep my eyes from evil, and I ran away from wickedness. I frequently made sacrifices to God on my behalf and on behalf of my children in the case they sinned and didn't know about it. I made sure to take care of my servants, my family, even the strangers that came. I knew that God loved me because He had given me so much. One day, it was a perfect day like today, except there was no clouds in the sky. It was blue, it was cool, but not too cold. There was a nice breeze that just made it a perfect day. I left our home and I went around to the side of the house where we kept our camels in a stable. And as I was going outside, I heard a voice from the hilltop, and I saw a man running toward me. And so I rushed to go see this man, and he was screaming. And as he approached, I could tell he was one of my men. He was one of my servants. And his clothes were all tattered, and he had blood all over him. And he threw himself at my feet as soon as he came. And he said, Master Job, Master Job, the Sabaeans came. They raided the countryside. They stole all of your goats, all of your donkeys, and they killed all of the men. And while he was still describing to me what happened, I was trying to process it all, and I remember thinking, all of those families without fathers. All of those families without fathers. All of those fathers who've left their children without a dad. And while I was still trying to process what was happening, another servant ran up, and he said, Master, Master, your sheep, your flocks, they're all gone. And I said to him, what do you mean all gone? Did the Sabaeans take them too? And he said, no. No, it was a perfectly clear sky. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this thunderstorm came up. And God sent lightning to the earth and it burned up all the sheep and it killed all of your men. And while he was describing this, all of a sudden another man came up to me. And he said, Master, the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, they came in and they carried off all of your camels and beheaded all of your men. And the three men were arguing and they were fighting over top of each other. And to me, and in the midst of all of that chaos, I thought, what is happening? Why is God allowing this to happen? Why does God allow bad things to happen? And as the three servants continued to argue, I looked and I saw my most trusted servant coming toward us, Eliezer. And he had tears in his eyes. And I pushed past the three men. And I said, What? What is it? And Eliezer said, Master, all of your children were dining together in your oldest son's home. And then a warm wind blew over top of us. The sun was obscured from the sky as the dust grew. The warm desert air brought the temperature up. And then there was a whirlwind in the windstorm. And it slammed into your oldest son's house, and the roof collapsed. Master, I tried to go in. I tried to see what I could do to save them, but they're gone. They're all gone. All of my children. Naked, I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will leave this life. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of Yahweh. My wife and I didn't know how to cope. How could you cope? In one moment, we lost all of our land, all of our wealth, all of our servants, and all of our children. At the funeral, we began to hear insinuations from some of my business partners and some of their spouses, and accusations of why God would allow this to happen to us. Even some of my servants began grumbling. In those days when we mourned, we would sit in ash. And so I sat outside of our home to mourn the death of my children in ash. As I sat there, I felt this pressure behind my head, and then a sharp pain on my foot. I removed my sandal, and there was a large boil. But it wasn't just the large boil. There were these little red dots that went all up my legs, both of my feet, up my chest, across my neck, down all of my arms. I began to get hot. I was burning up. I was in so much pain. I had a jar of water and I drank the jar dry. By midday, all of the red dots had turned to boils and the pressure was so terrible and awful. I took the clay pot and I smashed it and I took a shard and I began to break the boils apart and scrape them to relieve the pressure. And as I did that, all over my body, ooze and pus began covering me, and then flies began attacking. My wife came out of the house, and she looked at me. And she said, What is happening? And I said to her, I don't know why God is allowing this to happen. And she said, How long will you hold on to God? He's taken everything from us. He's taken our livestock. He's taken our flocks. He's taken our children. Curse God. Curse God. This life isn't worth living. And I tried to stand up. And I took a step forward and she stepped away from me. And I said to her, "You are not a foolish woman. Please don't talk like one. Will we only accept good from God and not adversity as well?" I no longer slept in my home. The days I spent outside in the ash pile mourning my children, scraping off boil after boil as they grew and regrew, and the flies swarmed around me. At night, I slept in the stables with the camels like an animal. As I sat there, former friends of mine, business partners, came and accused me of all kinds of things. There was a child, the son of a man who was not fit to watch my dogs, who came and spit in my face. And then, one day when I was scraping a boil, maggots came out of it. And then I scraped another one and more maggots came out. And more. And more. I was a dead man, just waiting to die. I sat there for days, weeks, months. And finally, I heard a voice from above me. And he said, "Job?" And I looked up, and it was three of my friends, my closest friends, from far away. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Jophar. They had heard about the loss of my children and had come to mourn with me. They too tore their robes and sat with me in ashes for days. They were such good friends. As they wept with me and mourned the loss of my children. But as the days went on, I suddenly realized that they were not just there to mourn with me. They were there waiting for me to die. So I stood up and I raised my voice to the heavens. And I said, "Curse the day that I was born! Why wasn't I like a miscarried child who was hidden away? Like an infant who never saw the light of day? Why does God give life to the bitter of souls? All of my worst fears have come to pass." And then my friend Eliphaz, he said to me, "Job, you are our friend and we care for you, but we all know that you must be suffering like this because of some sin that you've done. Just repent and be over with it." And I looked at him. What have I done? What have I done to deserve this? My body is clothed in maggots. My children are all dead. My eyes will never look on anything good again. What have I done to deserve this? And then Bildad said, "Your children obviously sinned against God. That is why he toppled the roof of their house onto their heads. The only reason you're not dead too is because you are not as bad as them." It's not true. It's not true. I haven't done anything to deserve this. I've been wrong. God has wronged me. If I washed myself in the purest of snow, God would take me and throw me into the dung heap. Did you form me and create me, God, just to destroy me? And then Zophar said, Job, we all know that people only suffer like this because they've sinned. He almost touched me, but he didn't. He said, just repent. And I said, you are all miserable doctors. You are all miserable doctors. If you would only shut your mouth, you would be considered wise. If God examined you, how would it go for you, huh? How would it go? I know that my Redeemer lives somewhere. Even if I die, God, I will put my hope in you. Then Eliphaz said, again, you seem like a wise man, but your words are crafty. It seems right, everything you're saying, but your words are crafty, and it is your sin that forms them in your lips. I said, you are all miserable comforters. I have done nothing wrong. God has wronged me. Can't you see that? Bildad said, Job, everyone knows that God snuffs out the light of the wicked. When will you stop talking? Why are we considered to be dumb cattle? It is you who's been wronged. Everyone knows that God will snuff out the light of the wicked and that the wicked have no children and no descendants to carry on their name. I will maintain my innocence. I wish I could find God and argue my case before him, but I go to the east and he is not there. I go to the west and he is nowhere to be found. Why don't you listen to me? Why have I done? Zophar said again. He said, Job, just like Bildad said, at the height of man's wickedness, God will cause him to topple over and be destroyed. That's what's happened here. It's not true. None of it's true. There are evil and wicked men who God does nothing to. He never calls them to account. He lets them die in their old age. Some of them have my camels. Some of them have my donkeys right now. Eliphaz said, then perhaps it is someone you neglected. A sojourner, a friend, your own family you've neglected, and that's why God strikes you down like this. And I said, I have never turned anyone away. I have treated my family well. I have treated my servants as if they were my equals. I have supplied every stranger their need. And yet here I am. My own brothers want nothing to do with me. My own wife is disgusted and repulsed by me. Bildad said, Job, how can anyone justify himself before God? And I said to them all, with my dying breath, as long as I have air in my nostrils, I will justify myself and defend my innocence before everyone. Why is God doing this? Why does God allow this evil to happen to my life? If only I could go back to months gone by when my children were alive and when God still loved me. Then there was a voice, and I saw my friend Elihu cut through the crowd. When had he arrived? And he was younger than all of us, but he spoke anyways, and he said, I'm sorry, I have to say something. I know that I am young, but wisdom does not only come from the old, it also can come from the young too. You three have accused and condemned Job with nothing more than your imaginations. You're his friends. You should be comforting him. And then he pointed to me. And he said, and you, Job, you're spending all of your time trying to justify yourself before God by defending yourself. Instead, you should be praising the Almighty. And then Elihu touched my arm. It hurt, but it felt good. And Elihu told me, God is speaking at all times. Sometimes we're just not listening. A warm breeze blew past us, and the desert wind came and stirred up the sand, and the sun was obscured from our sight, and I could no longer see my friends. The desert wind raised the temperature, and all of the humidity was sucked dry. And as the earth began to shake beneath my feet, there before me I saw form a whirlwind, like the one that had taken my children from me. I cannot describe to you what I saw. I cannot describe to you what I experienced. But in that moment, I saw Yahweh, the one true God, with my own eyes. And the Lord God Almighty spoke to me from the whirlwind. And he said, who is this who clouds my counsel with ignorant words? Prepare to answer me like a man. I will ask you questions and you will inform me. Where were you when I established the earth? Can you command the clouds to flood the land? Who gave the heart wisdom or the mind understanding? Can you command the horse? Can you control the eagle and cause it to soar through the sky? Who is this that argues with the Lord God Almighty? Answer me. And I cowered face down on the ground. And I said to him, I am so insignificant. How can I answer you? I put my hand over my mouth. I can add nothing. And then God spoke to me from the whirlwind again. And he said, prepare to answer me like a man. Would you presume to question my justice? Or would you accuse me of guilt to justify yourself? Who has an arm like God's? Who can speak the voice of thunder like God's? No one. Consider the behemoth, that monstrous creature of the land. Can anyone control him? Or look at the monstrous Leviathan in the deep sea. Can anyone capture him? Can anyone control him? I can. Does anyone dare to awaken the monstrous Leviathan? And yet you presume to argue with me. And I said to him, I know that you can do whatever you want, and that no plan of yours can be thwarted. I spoke about things that I did not understand, things too wonderful for my imagination to comprehend. I've heard rumors about you, but now I've seen you with my eyes. So I take back my words, and I repent in dust and ash. I cannot describe to you what I saw. I saw a man, an infant in a feeding trough. I saw a burning bush. I saw a pillar of smoke. I saw a pillar of fire. I saw a lion. I saw a lamb. I saw all-encompassing light. I saw God. and I would never be the same again. God was angry at my friends, my three friends. And he told them to repent because they had not spoken the truth about him. And so I went. And I made sacrifices to God on their behalf. Slowly, God began to heal me. The boils went away. He restored my health. And Yahweh reconciled me to my wife. We had 10 children. The firstborn, Jemima, she was a hugger too. And I knew that my children who had passed away could never come to me. But one day I could go to them when I would once again see God face to face. As you know, God restored my wealth. I don't know why he did that. He didn't need to. I think maybe it was to vindicate me before the people who had accused me wrongly. But if he had never done any of that, it wouldn't have mattered. I'd seen God and it was worth it. Why does God allow bad things to happen? God allows bad things to happen so that we can experience him. We will face pain in this life. We will suffer in ways that we do not deserve. But in the midst of that pain, my friend Elihu was correct. God is speaking. God is talking. He's always speaking. He's always talking. Sometimes we're just not listening. Throughout my whole ordeal, I kept asking the question, why? Instead of focusing on God and realizing even in the midst of this, he loved me, he cared for me. And so for all of you, my children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, I am so very proud of you. You will have pain in your life. You will suffer in ways that you do not deserve. Don't run away from God. Argue with him if you must. Wrestle with him if you must. But know that in the moments of your pain, God is speaking to you. He's speaking in the whirlwind. He hasn't wronged you. He's never wronged anyone. We don't understand the fullness of why he allows things to happen. But we do know he cares for us and loves us. God allows bad things to happen in your life so that you can experience him. You will experience him in ways that you will not experience him in any other way. If your life was filled with comfort, you would never experience God in the same way that you do in the midst of suffering and pain. Don't run away from him. Call out to him. Listen to his voice speaking to you. God speaks to us through our pain. Don't waste your pain. It is so hard to praise God in those times of suffering and pain. We want to know the answer why, and sometimes God tells us, often he doesn't. But we can be confident, because for Job, it was true for him. He said, I've heard rumors of everything he had experienced before about God, and he knew God well. He says, it was all like rumors. I've heard rumors about you. But now I've seen you with my eyes. Now he's experienced him in a way that he never would have otherwise. And for Job, it was enough. Those of you who know my personal testimony, much of my life has been involved with suffering, a lot of childhood illnesses, two separate ones, complete and utter betrayal, loss of family members, death, miscarriages. And yet through the midst of all that pain, I come to agree with Job. I've experienced God. Don't waste your pain. If you're suffering, God's speaking. Lord, bless you. Father, thank you for this congregation. Thank you for all who've gathered.
I pray that you reveal yourself to them in the midst of their suffering, that they see Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, who loves them and cares for them and died for them, and promised that for those who follow him, he will never leave us or forsake us. Help us to trust that you love us in all things, even through pain. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.